Blog Talk Radio.
Three-minute warning.
DFL, baby!
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be a fiddle. Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Come on, go, go, go!
Be a fiddle. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
Never more popcorn.
You know what being down by 20 at halftime means? Sweet, diddly, jack, squat. Why? Because you can storm back. I know it, you know it, they know it. Tucked into their new beds tonight, they don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line. But it's time to give them a nightmare. And cross it.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Candid Frank, the CFL is the best football in the world show. I'm Frank, the true double blue Argo lifer Stanishi and the host of the show. Please welcome our co-hosts and friends of the show, Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world Townsend, and future owner Manasseh, harder to find than Waldo Givermadine, Christopher, let's talk CFL and Lions Den Jones, Kelly, CFL know-it-all Bale, Bruce, the 13th man John Inch, Aaron, enough with a posting Macintosh. Gary, is it rock season yet, Groove? Stevie, the what else can I buy in Argo colors Richardson? Rob, the pistol J. Emery. Storm takes no Schmidt. Bill and Liam, the world travelers, and how? Serge, the CFL season ticket hoarder and collector, Duke the Dien. Derek, the bomber boot, Christopher. Kevin, Cheryl, and Cuddly Clan Kingsley. Kim, watch out, boys, Weaver. Debbie Riders, rule regardless, Wormsbecker. Donna, I will admin ya, Gale. Aaron, William, the meathead freelance. Jarrett, the roadie, and box J Boy Harris. Leanne, Leafs girl, what am I doing here, hockey? Steve, rock and roll Myers. Mike, Keeble Cable Cancellera. Reddit, retweet the show CFL every time. Aaron Russell, the organizer Nagy. Doug, look at the big lens and say cheese Lewis. Joe, I'm a like a Tulisan to the show Sardella. Danny E, likes caring for elderly. Salonen. Spike, I will nail you Sutherland. Andrew, the graphic illustrator Crump. Frank, the mascot Kirby. Tony, I wish I could agree with you, Frank Dejeuner. Becca, I will deadlift you, Veludo. Tangerine, I have a dream queen. Annette and Paul, that's my beautiful son, Jason Pottinger. And finally, Randy, Captain Video Christinger.
We're the Argo cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
We're the Argo cheerleaders,
and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
Yay! Woo!
Go Frank!
Go Frank! Go Frank!
Go Frank! It is a beautiful night, such a lovely night. It's nice to know that my Argos suck.
Yep, they got to make some changes because this Argo fan is getting impatient. Everybody's lying down half asleep and we can't stay awake. I don't understand the problem. I really don't. I really don't. We got some smart people running this team. We got a great coach. But I don't know. Beginning to wonder. I have some concerns. Very unimpressed with that last game, and we're going to look ahead to this week's games. That's the main focus of the show tonight. You're listening to Candid Frank Live's CFL is the best football in the world show, 207, if you're keeping track at home. It's something that I always enjoy talking about, the CFL. The greatest football league, and, you know, I'm going to go a step further, and after what I said about the Argos, doesn't seem like I'd be headed in this direction. I took a left turn somewhere. The greatest football in the world, the greatest league in the world. Right now, I think we're suffering from almost like a hangover from the over-effective officiating early in the season. I think it's taken a little bit of the pizzazz out of the game. Hopefully, you know, we can all settle into what the officiating is going to be like. It's expected. We have a new person determining what
should be called, what shouldn't be called, and when and where and how and who and what and all that wonderful stuff. It's just tough being an Argo fan right now. It's not so tough this week to move on into the East and be a Hamilton Tiger Cat fan who defeated the Argos in fine fashion at their new digs. And you know what? They were full value for the victory. I mean, really, it was a game of who didn't make the last mistake. It really was. That's what the game boiled down to. Ricky Ray, congratulations. Number six, 50,000 yards plus. He broke that barrier, only the sixth player to do it. And a quarterback, of course, because quarterbacks are the ones that churn out all those yards for passing, right? There aren't many running backs that have that kind of passing yardage, right? Hey, it's the CFL. You never know. You never know. You got to be careful. Don't ever close the door on anything because the CFL will open that door. It'll kick that door right open. There's been some talk about Michael Sam, and his rights have been taken. Will he play in the CFL? What position will he play if he does? You know, we have a history in the CFL of being accepting of people who may not be accepted at home. Racism. We helped make black players feel at home here in Canada. And, of course, in coaching. All kinds of stuff. We've been pretty accepting in the CFL. So Michael Sam turning up in the CFL shouldn't be a big surprise. I look forward to it myself. I think he's the kind of guy. He's the kind of guy that needs to be out there in sports. Why? You know, I'm a good Catholic boy, and I know what we're told. But then again, I'm one of those people that says to myself, on a personal note, I take the person first and judge them based on not what they are, but who they are. And who they become. Because even people who start on a road that may not be so acceptable do sometimes end up on a very acceptable road. So I think it's too early to judge this guy as a failure because now he's been, well, released. I hope he gets a chance in pro football. I hope he gets a chance in the NFL, not because I don't want him in the CFL. I'd like him to really make it happen in his home, the United States, and be a positive. I know this is not, I'm not a big fan of this term, you know, being the example, being the person that everybody looks up to, sets the standard. No, I'm not into that. I don't believe in that kind of stuff. But it would be nice to see a guy who bravely announced his sexual preference, which is irrelevant, really. But the relevance in it is that it's in a community that does not speak or, you know, discuss that kind of thing. And see, even the way I said it there, it's what's wrong with society and me. But anyway, on to bigger and better things. We started with Hamilton and Toronto. We move on to Ottawa, and we hope that Ottawa finds their legs. This is the part of me that's trying to be politically correct. Oh. I mean, just I want to make sure you all understand this. I want the Argos to finish first. I want them to win the Eastern Final. I want them to win the Grey Cup. When you hear me talk the other way, I'm just trying to be a nice guy when it comes to the CFL. But deep inside, you all know what I want to happen. Ottawa looks like, I don't know, they're being very patient. And, you know, there have been, through time, many an expansion team that makes knee-jerk reactions to situations and really doesn't look at the long term. Although some would disagree and some are very unhappy with Burris, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I think in Ottawa, folks, you're going to have to hunker down and enjoy the team the way it is this year. Don't expect craziness. I define it as craziness you know, trading all kinds of young guys for a veteran just so that they can make some noise this year and maybe even challenge for a playoff spot. The long-term goal of the long-term goal of the Ottawa Red Blacks is to become a good team, entertaining, and, you know, one that is in every game. And unfortunately, it doesn't happen in the year of expansion for many teams. We were all hoping it would be a bit better for Ottawa, but we'll just have to, I'm just telling you, Ottawa fans, be a little patient, and your time will come. I promise you that. I know that for a fact, that Ottawa will be a big challenger within 3 years. I think I give it about 3 years, and they will be a major challenger in the East, which this year doesn't seem like much of a challenge. But still, in all seriousness, things could go well for them. On the same note, the Montreal Alouettes, whose defense has been stellar, they've been awesome. They look like their offense is starting to figure things out. And, I think they'll be okay. I just think that a major change has to happen with the Alouettes. I don't see Pop being there much longer. There is a limit to how long a GM, a VP, a person in charge of a team can exist. There is a shelf life. I don't care what anybody says. There's a shelf life. You know, it just is what it is. That's the way it works out. Moving over to the Western Division, we'll only say this about Saskatchewan. Hate you. Can't stand you winning. Don't want you to win. Gull, darn it, you got a great team. I hate you. They got a fantastic team. They got running backs. They have three running backs that I wish I had, you know. Our running backs are okay, and they say it's our offensive line. Okay, maybe it's our offensive line. But there is a lot of experience at running back with the Saskatchewan Roughriders. And once again this year, the running backs are giving the quarterback, Darian Durant, an opportunity to make plays. And what can you say about Western Dressler? Or Easton Dressler. No, it's Western Dressler. Western Dressler. And what can you say about that team? They're loaded. They're loaded. But then again, you know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And I know one team that really wants them to fall really fast, really hard, and wants to be personally involved in doing that. That's the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers are they came out of the gate against the Argos and did a marvelous job, made the Argos look like a 1-8 team. They're a 2-8 team now. Then you have, of course, in that division, the other team that wasn't in the playoffs, the Edmonton Eskimos, whom have patiently and consistently played based on a great defense and a good quarterback and another good quarterback, two great quarterbacks, actually. We know Riley's the number one. I don't think anybody's going to dispute that. But they have probably the best backup in the league right now. I might get Christopher Jones might argue with me a little bit. Of course, based on Kevin Glenn being the legitimate backup. Which brings us to the BC Lions, who have Travis Lule coming back into the lineup. This guy, before he got injured, he got injured on a play where some might suggest a dive for a touchdown, I think. Was it a touchdown or a first down near the goal line? It hurt his shoulder. You know, it's the kind of player that wants to win, and he did a great job in doing just that. They obviously, BC, picked the right guy to back him up and pick up the slack, as our friend Christopher Jones says, 500, that's all I want from Kevin Glenn. Well, I think he did just that. Well, that leaves us with the Calgary Stampeders, the best defense in the league. Ask Storm, he'll tell you. They are the best defense in the league. I haven't had a chance to phone you guys yet. We do have a couple who are on. I can't see their phone numbers yet because I have to move my phone list. Who's here? Oh, I can't tell because I only see some. Oh, okay. That's an Ottawa number. I see an Ottawa number. I do. I see an Ottawa. That's an Ottawa number. That might be our little buddy, the hot gun, the hot glue gun. Okay, well, we'll start with the hot glue gun. How's it going?
Pretty good, you?
Not bad. See, I was right. It is the hot glue gun.
Yeah. I'm very frustrated.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, very upset.
Uh-oh.
You know, Ottawa comes into the CFL, and everyone's like, oh, it's an expansion. It's not an expansion. Well, it's an expansion team, but it's not really an expansion team because we've been in the CFL for 125 years as the Ottawa Rough Riders, Renegades. So they bring us in. Our first player to sign was Kevin Glenn. Well, we bring in Henry Burris and figure, hey, he's going to be the shit. Well,
hey,
he
watch
is.
Your mouth.
Sorry. He's, you know, he's our man. He's our man. All of a sudden, boom, he's not our man. You know? Last year, he brought Hamilton to the Grey Cup.
Yeah, that's your
What's
opinion.
What's up with this here?
That's your opinion, though.
Yeah, but...
You know, I mean, there could be more wrong with the team than Burris.
Well, true, but, you know, I'll at least get some stick-em, some glue or something to put it on the receiver's hands, and hopefully they catch something.
Yeah, you know, they've improved. They've improved.
A little bit, yeah. Like, I just watched the Ottawa-Calgary game, and it's just like, oh, my God. Like, whoa. You know, like, yeah, it was all right. You know, I was sitting front row in the basically side end zone part of the stadium, and we get a touchdown. Well, I tell you, I've never heard a crowd go so loud for a touchdown. It's like right on,
well,
you know?
There haven't been many. Which is why.
Definitely not, but... You know, and it was like, right on, you know, we're actually going to win this game. And then all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. I don't think so. You know?
Well, should there really be the expectation that you guys are going to, you know, rule the league? You know,
is
that a fair expectation on your part? Do you think maybe Ottawa fans and even I on this show spoke a little too highly, of the Ottawa Red Blacks. I thought they'd be better, but it hasn't worked out for them.
No, but you know what? We have to give it time. You know, you can't
right.
expect you can't expect a team to come in and be like, boom, and start winning all these games and be a super team. You know?
Absolutely.
You know? And
totally
it's just
true.
Like. And it's just like, oh, my God, would you guys, like, you know, I'm sitting there talking like, yo, get me out there. Yeah, right, get me out there. I get friggin' rolled over and killed and everything like
yeah,
that.
But you,
thinking,
a, but you have an advantage. You have a very low center of gravity.
Hey. Yeah, but that's a good thing because I'm fast. Right?
There you go. You're like a fleet.
Yeah. But... You know, and I don't know. I'm just upset. You know, and
you have every right to be.
You know, and I know it will all come through, and everything will be a lot better. And you know, I just hope
it
the
will.
Best.
You know, and you know
like,
what?
Like if you figure out though, any other team would have fired their head coach by now.
Not
but
in the
see,
first year.
No, but it's like, I'm just,
you're
sorry,
doing
Frank,
fine.
I'm
you're
just
doing
all,
fine.
All, just all fried up here. I'm all upset, mad.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Listen. Pop a brown bottle.
No, I
Sit
quit
down,
that.
Take a
so.
Step back. Jump in when the time's right. And we'll move on to somebody else at this point. And we'll start with, we'll go back to the top of the list because the list has changed. At the top of the list, we have Storm Schmidt. Storm, how's it going?
I think you got me, Frank, actually. That's Kelly Bale.
I got that story too, but he's not paying attention.
Okay.
Or that was his answer machine that I called. But you go ahead, Kelly. What I did,
yeah,
I put two mics in for the sake of you guys. I have the person we're going to talk to and the guy on deck.
Exactly.
So you run deck
okay,
and you jump on.
Yeah. We were talking about
today.
Ottawa there.
Yeah, no.
Really
just,
good, really good.
We were just spitballing. You know, he had something on his mind, and he got it off his mind. How are you doing today?
Yeah, it's good to really good, and good to hear Rob J. Emery on the show. And one thing I want to say to Rob is, Rob, it's more, you know, you got to think of it this way. The Red Blacks, they're going to be here for a while. So their number one mission this year is to create excitement in that community, get butts in the seats, get people committed for 2 to 3 years with tickets, and if they do that, they've won.
And then everything will be great.
So that's just
little patience.
Yeah, that's how I felt about it from the beginning. And you know, the other thing I can say for Ottawa is I'm loving watching them. I mean, win or lose, it's great to have them back. I mean, and they are back, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
absolutely. Also with us tonight is Christopher Jones.
I'm here.
Things have, the word was out, you know, I sent out an SOS for Christopher to join the program. Things getting a little sleepy, you know, nothing like, you know, Stormy was getting very upset because you weren't around. Kelly called you to tell you we need you. Things are getting kind of stale. And I called you. So what's it like to feel wanted?
It's wonderful. I got this warm and fuzzy feeling. I don't know what that's like. Usually I'm just
I would never consider the warm and fuzzy in the same sentence with Christopher Jones does not compute.
No, not well.
So how
you have
doing?
10 seconds to complete your recording.
Okay, there's that Storm. Storm, I called you. Obviously, you've been listening to the show. If you listen to the answering machine, you'll know that I tried calling you. I'll give it another
message
shot.
Message recorded. To send your message, press pound. To continue recording.
Can't press. Can't do that kind of stuff.
That's the TELUS Nazi that we were just hearing.
The TELUS Nazi. Yeah, no kidding. So onward and upward, Christopher. So how are things going? You've been real busy lately.
Yeah, sorry I missed the show. Like I told you guys, I came home from work on Wednesday for the all excited about the show, and I had a house full of people,
and dinner guests
and all sorts of things. And every time I sneak away to the computer to try to get onto the show or something, I get this dirty foul look and yelled at. So I kind of had to sheepishly head back outside to the barbecue. And then Monday's show after the football game on Labor Day, I was all messed up, thought it was Sunday. And I always thought the show was the next day, and I'm going, damn. And I picked up the show. I found out about the show about 5 minutes before it was over and went, damn. So my apologies.
No, Monday, normally we don't do a show. We don't do the Friday show because there's games. Monday, thank goodness, the games were in the afternoon. Gave me enough time. It meant that I couldn't do any post-game celebrating. Wait, hang on a second. There was nothing to celebrate. So I basically came home, chilled out with the wife and kiddies, and then did the show. And I had plenty of time to relax. I think I even had a nap. Did I have a pre-show nap Monday? Yep, I had a pregame. That's one of my rituals, pre-show nap. And, well, some people suggest I sleep right through the show as well, but that's beside the point. There are days. Usually the wine days. Also with us tonight, Michael Townsend is with us as well. Michael, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, Frank? How y'all doing?
Good. I'm doing great. I was out digging dirt.
What's up, Rob? What's up, Chris? What's up, Kelly? How y'all guys doing tonight, man?
Really good, Mike. Thanks for us.
We're doing football.
There you go, man. You know, I'm kind of happy in a way. My Montreal jersey came in yesterday, and it fits real well. Yeah. Montreal jersey came in, fits real well, and you know, I've been watching a lot of football news that I ain't really agreeing with some of these so-called no fun league rules that they're putting out with certain players. You know, it's just real crazy. That's the reason why I don't watch the NFL, man. You know, I don't know if y'all heard about Wes Welker got caught with performance-enhancing drugs and only got a 6-game suspension.
Was it a performance-enhancing drug? Because I heard that whatever he was caught with was found in ecstasy, and he admitted to taking ecstasy, which I thought was just repulsive on his part.
All right, Kelly, but, yeah, it was something to that nature of ecstasy and then performance-enhancing drugs. But then he only gets a 6-game suspension. 6 games.
Yep.
Yeah, and then go ahead and smoke a little pot and gets a year.
First offense, right? Yeah.
And Jim Irsay, Mike, like you were saying. Irsay gets what? He get? You tell everybody.
He gets 6 games and fined $500K.
That's nothing to him. That's like $50 to you and I.
Yeah, that's you know, that's like going to Walmart and buying the whole DVD collection. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man.
Well, you can't expect anything other. You don't really expect in a world where, you know, I don't want to say, because I don't want to get on that tangent,
you know the reason why I brought it up, because it goes back to the conversation we had last week about how Josh Gordon got a year suspension, but then like the stuff I said about how they treat certain players. That's the reason why I brought it up. You know what I'm saying? We don't got to discuss it, but do you see what I mean by how they treat certain players?
Yeah, basically you're just revisiting for the sake of tallying the score.
There you go. That's it. That's it.
So, score justice 0, injustice 3.
There you go.
I think there's more injustices than just 3. Have you seen the official?
Well, the 3 that we've discussed. There's 3 that we've discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Make it 4. Sorry, make it 4, because today there were 2 of them added to the list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it goes without saying that star quality and star power means you get star consideration. You know, in every league, it's the same thing. In every league, you know, the only reason why a lot of leagues don't want to enforce rules is because they're afraid if one of their stars breaks one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the only reason.
You know. But you know what? It's all good. Let's go ahead and talk about the best league in the world, man. Let's talk about the CFL. And if I can, Frank, I just want to make a 1 5-second. I just want to say something for 5 seconds to a lot of guys that's out here listening, that's going to the Winnipeg Combine September 21st. Before you go to Buffalo, New York, make sure it's a Winnipeg tryout and just not some regional so-called CFL tryout without CFL. Winnipeg Blue Bomber officials being present at the tryout.
Yikes. That's scary.
Yeah. Man, we had that discussion before for our friend of the show went to a tryout, claiming it was a CFL tryout, and got scammed.
It is what it is, right?
Mm-hmm. So I'm just letting everybody know, do your homework before you go to the tryouts. Do your homework. Don't get scammed.
Yeah, and don't waste your time.
There you go.
So we'll keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So,
one thing I could add to that quickly just is that have you ever heard of a mid-season workout for any of the CFL teams or a late-season workout? Like, I've never
heard
of that
before. Well, that's what's drawing my concern.
Yeah. I've really never heard of that before. And you know, from my experience with this league over 35 years plus, really, I've never heard of that, and all the workouts are between November and April.
Yeah, because what happens in the CFL, to add to what Mike said and to ensure that people understand something, the reality is that your opportunity to play in the CFL involves phases. And the phases go something like this. Until the season starts, until training camp starts, there are lots of places, and especially before the teams go to their training camp locations, which are, of course, all in their hometowns, there are camps for players who are not signed or free agents, people who are hopeful, players who are hopeful to get a chance in the CFL. They're not really NFL-ranked players or players with NFL ties at that point in phase one. Then there's the draft. Then, and I'm saying it this way on purpose for people to get an idea. The league and the general managers and the organizations cannot focus on everything at once. So it's an assembly line. And the assembly line starts, again, with the free agent tryouts, which are in the U.S. and later on in Canada, but then they're limited to usually before training camp. And guys, correct me if I'm wrong. And then, of course, there's the draft, free agency, team and management. Our team management are focusing on that. Then the season begins, and then they might go over some players who are released by the other teams in the CFL. There may be players that caught their eye in some of those tryouts, and an opening comes up, and they might bring one of them in. The next phase is now when the NFL has their cuts, and the teams are concentrating more or less on players that shake loose from practice rosters in the NFL, players who can't make the NFL, like a Weston Dressler ended up back in Saskatchewan. And essentially, that's the cycle. It's cyclical, and it is what happens in the CFL. This is why Kelly jumped on it, and I'm going to back what Kelly's saying and basically say, if you're being invited to a Winnipeg Blue Bomber tryout, make sure there's Winnipeg Blue Bombers at the tryout, like Mike said, because, just be careful. There have been times when people have been misled, and it's expensive if you're not a professional football player. For some, it's like a vacation for us. We all can't afford to have multiple vacations. We have our set amount of funds to cover a vacation, and just like you, a player who's trying out for the CFL, we understand, at least the guys in this group understand, that you have limited funds and you're looking for an opportunity not to spend money but to actually sign a contract and be able to make money and be a professional football player. So be careful. Let me add that to what Mike said, and I'm sorry it was long and drawn out. But I only said it this way because I want you to understand that the team management, they have a routine. Get used to what the routine is. And that's why it's so important, as we've told you all, players who want to make it into the CFL, be prepared for when those opportunities come, because they only come once a year. It isn't an ongoing thing. It doesn't last all year for the most part. Again, there are always exceptions that make the rule. You want to add something else, Kelly, before we leave this? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Frank, you hit it bang on in the way you just described how it works. So, again, if any of you guys is listening to the show tonight, just be aware of what's going on. And if you have to call the Winnipeg Blue Bombers personally to find out about the September 21st tryout, then you make that phone call. It's only going to take you a couple of minutes to make a phone call. They will answer you. So call and find out before you spend your money. And Kelly and Frank, if y'all got y'all PMs open to the admin room, I'm going to send y'all something, because I'm going to tell you who's giving the tryout. I'm not going to say it over the line.
Oh, okay.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll follow up on this. And well said, Frank.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Also joining us tonight, Douglas J. Campbell. Dougie, how's it going,
hey,
buddy?
Hey, good evening, guys. Sorry that I wasn't on last week. I was a little under the weather. But back and raring to go this week. And what a game that Winnipeg game was last weekend, huh?
Doug, that's not a good enough excuse. The only thing we permit under the weather is not good enough. Under your wife, maybe.
Well, that the under the weather portion kind of prevented the under the wife thing from happening.
I'm going to change the setting for the show to adult. One of these times we're going to have an adult show where we just go raunchy, go nuts.
Well,
I was under the weather last week, too.
Yeah, but I bet you still did the show, didn't you?
Nope.
No?
Oh. No, I suffered from heat prostration.
Heat frustration?
Well, whatever. I was overheated, heat stroke. I was overheated.
Ah.
It was an awful feeling. May I never feel that again.
I've treated people that have had that. That's no fun. No fun.
Oh, all you can do is lie down and hold on.
Pretty much that, and try to fill them up with fluid.
With water.
Get the hydration back in them, yeah.
Well, I was hydrating all day. It still hit me a little bit at the end. Anyway, so how's your week coming? How are you doing? Well, how are your 2 weeks been?
Been busy. Work's been kind of steady, and we were busy over the holiday weekend, but I managed to squeeze in some CFL all the same.
Beautiful. Okay, well, why don't we talk about some CFL? All right. Well, very quickly, for those of you that weren't on Monday, we're going to give you a chance to review in a minute or two the games last week, since you didn't get a chance.
Frank.
We'll start with, yeah?
Okay, I'm just letting you go here. I'm just saying goodbye to everyone. And,
I was just going to ask. Okay, go ahead. All right, we'll talk to you later, buddy. Take care.
Oh, okay, bye.
All right, Rob, see you later, brother.
Yep. There he goes. Okay. Okay, is everybody still here? I guess we are. All right, so, Mike, you were here on Monday, so we'll give it to Christopher. Christopher, tell us what you thought of the games last week.
Christopher? Still here?
He's here.
I'm still here.
Chrissy.
Mr. Jones, calling Mr. Jones.
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
Okay.
I had to go fix the wife's TV set.
No, that's fine. Listen, since you weren't here Monday, we're going to give you a chance to review the games of last weekend, the Labor Day battles, in a couple of minutes. Tell us what you thought of the games.
I didn't get to watch a lot of them. I only watched about the last 15 minutes, the last quarter of each game. I was outside doing work in this wonderful sunshine that we have.
Yeah,
so,
same thing.
All of the games were good. All of the games were a little bit on the boring side for me. There was really nothing that was downright exciting about them. So, I mean, there were some good finishes on a couple games, and I'd have to look at them to find out which ones they were and everything else. But I think they were a good even match on right across the board. I mean, Ottawa didn't stink up the place that bad. Winnipeg had a chance against Saskatchewan. 12-13, what was that? Toronto and Hamilton?
Yeah, they were shooting themselves in the feet the whole game. Both.
It wasn't so much the better team won. It was the one who made the least amount of mistakes.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and then Calgary and Edmonton. I still think Edmonton had a shot at that game. So, you know what, the two rematches coming up, the Banjo Bowl and the Battle of Alberta, I think they may swing the other way, and these series might both split. So,
well,
I'm,
it's important this year more than any other year. It's very important how you play against your, your fellow opposition. Because the tiebreaker, when you consider how many wins are being made in the East, it's going to come down to a tiebreaker.
Yeah, it is.
Same
and
as
I
in
mean,
the West.
Who wins the season series and what's going on? And that's the whole kicker on this. So. I mean, the only good thing right now, BC has a season series against the Riders, and we still have Saskatchewan and Edmonton to worry about.
There you go. How about you, Douglas?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've been the one that's been dogging Montreal since I got on the show with you all. But the last 2 weeks. This last weekend they won, of course, you know, but the week prior, even though they lost, I thought they really stepped up their game and was playing well, so I was happy to see them win. But I thoroughly enjoyed the Winnipeg-Saskatchewan game. I mean, the way that thing went back and forth, I thought it was one of the better games of the season as far as I was concerned. I'd like to see more games like that, you know, nip and tuck and, you know, coming down to who has the ball last, you know, or who doesn't make the last mistake. You know, I just thought the game was intense, and that's the kind of game I like to see. The rest were pretty good, too, Calgary and Edmonton and, you know, the Toronto Hamilton game, yeah, that was kind of a snore, but, you know, any CFL is better than no CFL at all as far as I'm concerned, so. But I think it would be hard-pressed to match that Winnipeg-Saskatchewan game. That was just really intense for me.
Gotcha. So, that brings me to this question. Very quickly, we haven't really had a chance to talk about, is there anybody on the horizon that you're aware of that you think will be replacing the present commissioner? I'll start with you, Doug. Do you see anybody? Do you see anybody on the horizon that's a good fit as the new commissioner?
You missed me, Frank, with the highlights of the games.
Yeah, but you were here on Monday.
Well, technically, yeah. But anyways, go on.
Technically? Technically? Are you saying you're not all
yeah,
there?
Yeah, I forgot that you said that, though, about people that missed it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just giving guys a chance that didn't get a chance last week, this week, to review the games on the weekend.
That's all.
Well, Storm, that's a problem.
I haven't really seen any candidates come out that I'm aware of. I've been trying to look and see what little bit I can catch down here as far as a story about that, but honestly, I really don't know who's a candidate for the job. I assume they're going to be make sure that whoever that they try to choose to take his place, they're going to really scrutinize to make sure they're hiring the best person for the job. But other than that, I honestly haven't seen any candidates that I'm aware of even come to fruition as far as I'm aware of.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think it'll be somebody, again, that will make his reputation as the commissioner of the CFL. How about you, Storm?
Hey, probably. Go ahead.
Are you left out again, Storm?
Oh, I didn't know what you were talking to me.
Do you see anybody on the horizon that...
Not really, because I don't really pay attention too much to that kind of stuff.
How about you, Kelly?
Well, Frank, you know, it's been tossed around that the executive vice president, I believe, is his title at the CFL currently, but
Michael?
His name's Michael Copeland.
Yeah.
And
that's
you know, it's been tossed around that he could be the next boss because Cohan essentially has worked hand in hand with him, and he would be a good guy for continuity of what Cohan has started here, but. You know, one guy I'd like to talk about, and maybe even two guys from my neck of the woods, would be Jim Hobson, who is vacating the Riders president position, I believe, in October of this year. You know, that kind of fit the time frame where he could have, you know, a month in Hawaii and then take on a new job, right? So, you know, he's definitely got the qualifications as a former CEO of several companies, and we've all seen what he's done for the Riders. Now, another guy who I'm just not sure if he has the chops and the resume to do it, but an outside shot I'd give him just because he's a brilliant football person in this community is Frank McChrystal, who I spoke about the other night. He's basically Mr. Everything for the Regina Rams over 30 years, and you know, count the successes that the organization has had, not only on the field, but, you know, behind the scenes. They're a profitable organization every year, and, you know, that says something for both junior football and CIS football. So, yeah, those are my guys if I had to name any guys who, you know, might not be on anybody else's radar.
I like them. How about you, Christopher?
Yeah. What, do I like those people, or do I know anybody that would be a candidate?
Either or.
We've just heard the name Copeland been kicked around quite a bit in the last little while. No offense to my rider friend here.
Really? You're going to say that?
Yeah, I am. I think that the riders are a little bit too dominant in their representation around this league as it is, and to bring one of their top executives into the top of the CFL, that would just make this a rider league as opposed to the CFL league. And I'd hate to see that happen, that one team or one thing gets more favoritism than they've already getting. No, I'm sorry, I couldn't support Jim Hopson as the commissioner.
Alternative other than Mike?
My turn?
Yes, sir. What? Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear. First of all, I'd like to know who's the second in command as far as CFL commissioner. Does he have a guy under him?
Michael Copeland.
Michael Copeland.
The guy we're talking about.
Well, Copeland, you know, I think he should get the nod, man, to see what he can do. I mean, hey, he wasn't second in command for nothing. You know, let him get a chance to see what he can do, and, you know, time will tell. You know, but if not, hey, I'll make my way to Toronto, fly the application. Don't you get worried.
There you go. Okay, any unsaid phrases, words? I know there was a rebuttal coming from Kelly after hearing what Christopher had to say. Go ahead.
I just wanted to sympathize Christopher because obviously Rider fans know how that feels. The Eskimos dominated us for years, and we all, you know, pointed the finger at Hugh Campbell at that time.
Exactly.
You know, it was that old Bluey Huey had some tricks up his sleeve in the league office and everything, so... So anyway, I can totally sympathize with what you're saying, Christopher. I mean, but I'd like to say that presence that you feel, that is Jim Hopson. That is Jim Hopson. That's the presence you're feeling.
Well exactly. And I think that if it was in the head office, league office, it wouldn't be a good thing for the league. I don't know. I wouldn't want Hugh Campbell in as commissioner either. And in the same thing, you know, I don't know. That's just my personal belief. I think it's too strong of a presence already in this league, and to throw somebody out there like that, it would be wrong.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
You have to have impartiality.
Yeah. And I think it's really
it
hard
helpful.
For somebody to do that. I couldn't.
For anyone.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Of any
I couldn't go into that job and be impartial. I'm a Lions fan, right? And that's never going to change. So
I'd like to mention just that, you know, there's a bunch of former executives and stuff like that surrounding this league. So whomever does surface, we're going to get a quality guy.
I think so, too.
I don't think so, too. The present owners are going to allow anything less. I think we've got a good group of owners, a good group of teams in this league right now. They're strong. They've got a very powerful position to be in, and they don't want to see this thing go down the toilet any more than we do.
Absolutely.
Nope.
Well, let's leave it there, gentlemen. We'll take a short break, and I did get a chance to talk to Michael Copeland. It had nothing to do with him taking over, but but I had a chance to talk to him.
How are you? And you are?
Michael Copeland.
Michael Copeland, how are you doing? What do you want me to ask you, by the way? How can I help? What do you think would be a good thing to ask you?
Like, you know, Frank?
Yeah, we met.
Briefly, yeah. You know, what the where the league is at now and how we're really growing, and it's now the modern CFL.
Can I ask you your position and explain your...
Of course.
Of course. We're with Vice President Michael Copeland.
President and Chief Operating Officer.
I'm with President and Chief Operating Officer of the CFL, Michael Copeland. Michael, first, explain your marching orders, if you will, from the league. I don't know
How are you implementing your position?
Right, well, I work closely with commissioners to establish the priorities for the league and make sure that those are ones that help us grow and build as a league, and I think we've demonstrated that we've done a very good job with that, and making sure that the day-to-day operations happen according to the plans we've put in place. So I have a pretty broad spectrum of responsibilities, which is very exciting, but it's generally, we look at what are the big things that should be on our plate, and how do we make sure that we get those done.
As an Argo lifer in Section 134 at the Rogers Center, we're happy with the state of the league right now. The Argos are doing fine. I won't complain about them or ask what the league can do for the Argos, but what about the whole league as a whole? What do you see as the state of the league at this point?
I think that the league has never been stronger. From a structural standpoint, I think our clubs are in very, very strong financial positions and have an opportunity to really make good businesses out of their own operations. There's some work to be done, certainly, but we're on the right path, and you see what's being done in terms of new stadium developments this year in Winnipeg, next year in Hamilton and Ottawa with the return of the Ottawa franchise, and a few years down the road with Regina building their new stadium. It really is, we talk about a renaissance in the CFL, and we are right on the verge of that renaissance, and it's very exciting for us. So it's continuing the progress. This league has a lot going for it. There's a lot that we can leverage, and I think when we realize it's a potential, which will happen very soon, it's going to be an incredibly exciting time for Canadian sport.
God, now I got to get back to the Argos again. You use the word leverage and the CFL having leverage. What kind of leverage does the CFL have and how do they see themselves helping the Argos to be more independent? They don't have their own stadium. They don't have their own practice facility. How can the CFL help a team in a tough position of this Toronto market?
Yeah, well, we work very closely with Senator Braley and Chris Rudge with respect to their plans, and I know that they're aware of the opportunities that exist for the Argonauts, and what we do is we support them in any way we can with government, with our ability to outreach to fans, and with how we manage the league and set our priorities so that they're consistent and help the Argonauts with their own plans. So we're in constant communication, and we work on these things very closely together. It's one of the things about the CFL. It's a very tight-knit group, and our board is unified, and we try to make sure that we have the best opportunity to meet those goals.
What can fans like us, the Argo Lifers, do to help the league other than buy season tickets, promote the selling of season tickets, have a lot of fun at the game and hope that it becomes contagious, do the best we can to promote the league, let everybody know, even me, do this radio show so that people know about the CFL. What else can we do?
I honestly don't think there is anything else that you can do, and I don't mean that in a negative sense. I think it's more a positive sense of the things you mentioned are exactly the right things, and they are the things that are going to help this grow in this market. I mean, our product is fantastic. The CFL game is fantastic. The Argonauts are a model organization. I mean, out here this morning looking at training camp, they look strong, they look fast. They are, I think, going to be the class of the league this year. And making sure that, people understand the passion that you have for the game, for the team, and they get out and see what is was really a jewel in this city. And I think the more people that get out and experience the product and see it are going to love it, and that's going to get more people in the stadium, and that's when we get the virtuous cycle happening. And we're going to get there, but your the Argonaut fans and spreading the word and helping promote the team, which comes naturally because I know you believe in it and love it, is really the thing that's going to make the difference.
One last question.
That's enough, Frank. Yeah. So I went to the Argo practice, and I was backing up because the football was coming towards me, and a player, of course, was following the football very closely. So I backed up and stepped on a guy's feet. And as I was stepping on his feet, he's going, ouch, 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 ouch. And I'm going, oh, sorry, 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 sorry. And the Argo guy that handles all the interviews and stuff, so Frank, have you met the vice president of the CFL? Did you really have to use my name? Because I didn't want this guy to know my name. I just stepped all over him. Anyway, and then I kept the interview right because I thought it was funny. have you met him? No, I haven't, because if I had met him, I wouldn't have stepped all over him. So basically, that's the guy that might end up taking over from Mr. Kohan, and his memory of me is going to be that, me walking all over him, or stepping all over him, whatever. Good guy, though. Nice young man. I can say that now because I'm old. Yeah, I liked him when I met him. Yeah, he's a great guy, guys. Why don't we talk about the upcoming games this week? And the first one is on Friday. And it features the team that had a bye, the BC Lions. That's
Roar.
Against the Ottawa Red Blacks. And I want to stop.
I need to apologize to Mr. Emery right now. Okay, I'm sorry about the game coming up.
Oh, please. He hung up before we started talking about it. He knew better.
Okay.
He knew better. He knew to leave. So why don't we start with 615. Oh yeah, that's Doug. Doug,
yes,
BC
yes,
Lions, Ottawa Red Blacks.
Well, I hate to be somebody that continually beats on the Red Blacks, but and with BC coming
really?
Off a bye week.
If you really did feel that way, you wouldn't do it.
Okay, all right. You're right. I'm lying. obviously, you know, BC's going to be rested, and I'm not quite sure if they've said who's going to start the game or not, whether it'll be Travis Lule or
Lule.
The other guy. Is it going to be Travis Lule? Okay, well, good.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, I think BC's going to be able to handle their business. You know, Ottawa's still struggling, trying to find themselves. They did play, you know, a little bit better in their last game. But that poor quarterback of theirs, Henry Burris, I think he's running all over trying to save his own skin. And I felt so bad for the guy. So I think it's going to be more of the same. I see BC pretty much handling their business without a whole lot of struggle against Ottawa this week.
I guess you're saying BC is going to be loaded for lumberjack.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Storm? Ottawa? What? Are they in are they going to get mauled by the Lions?
Beginning of the season, I picked them for first, so obviously I was way off on that one, which it still can happen, but I doubt it. But anyways, yeah, BC's coming off a rest, and Ottawa, a little bit of signs, but that's not enough signs to beat BC. So BC 34, Ottawa 16.
If Ottawa wants to go back to the way it was at the beginning of the season, they're going to have to not play some more games. Because that's how they get first, by not playing.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what history has taught
it. You know, that could be one of the upsets of the week, too, but I just can't see it.
Neither can I.
That's not going to be an upset this week.
How about you, Kelly? Ottawa at home to BC on Friday night.
I expect a tight one. I looked at it today, and I just kept on thinking it was going to be a close game between these two again.
And what did you draw? What was your conclusion?
I didn't even think about a score or anything.
You don't have to.
Geez.
Who's going to win?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking, like, within seven. You know, I just see this as like a special teams battle coming up. And like a mistakes last type of battle as well. I see it being close. I'm going to say maybe even 3 points, let's say. And
okay.
And no
but,
score. I can't.
But BC,
I can't go
but BC's
there.
BC's going to win.
Slight edge to BC.
Fair enough. How about you, Mr. Christopher Jones? Can I assume that you're going to pick BC to win?
Well, it's a bit of a coin toss, really, for me. I'm just not sure the Lions have put it in. You got Travis Lule that's coming off after a year. He's missed the first 9 games, chomping at this bit, and he wants to play football. He's got something to prove that he is still able to do it. You got Andrew Harris is coming back after two games off. He wants his rushing yards title back. He's now in fourth place overall and back 130 yards back from Grisby, and Grisby's got two games up on him. So Andrew's going to come out and make a statement. Benavides has said that there is no way that he could ever take Tim Brown out of the lineup again. So we've got our special teams happening. We got our two running backs happening. We got a quarterback that's going to find Manny and Marco and Sean and everybody else down the line.
Who's going to light him up? Who's going to sit to keep Tim Brown in?
I don't know what the roster's going to be like right now. I can't see what's happening. So we're flipping. We've lost the left tackle, which was a non-import, and we're putting an import in there. So our ratio is really going to have to be juggled. So I don't know what's going on. We just signed somebody out of the NFL. I don't remember his name. Brandon somebody, I think. And the roster's is up in the air for me. I'd like to see what happens before time, but I'll find out Friday. But whatever happens. Brown will be in the game. There has to be.
But Tim Brown is such a big asset on your special teams that you just can't afford to keep him off.
520 yards returning in two games.
That's a lot of rushing without getting that many touches.
Yeah. That's just
scary.
Scary.
We could stop. We had no answer.
It would be interesting to see if that's a record.
It must be.
For two games?
Well, hang on a second. The Ordinary Superstar was pretty good, too.
Yeah, and Gizmo and Pinball.
And Gizmo, yeah.
But two back-to-back games is pretty exciting. I mean, yeah, the Gizmo was great, but he wasn't great in every game. So, I don't know. I don't think it's a record. But I'm glad he's on my team.
For sure.
Can he not catch the ball?
I don't know. I think he's too small.
You know what I mean?
He's smaller than Stephan Logan.
Oh, okay. But he is shifty. Literally.
Oh, yeah. Oh, without question. I mean, he is a running back. He is coming out of the backfield for us on numerous occasions before Stephan came back from the NFL. Because we did have Tim Brown and Andrew Harris in the backfield, right?
Right.
So I think it's going to be an interesting game. I feel bad for Ottawa, and I really hope they win some games this week, just not this one coming up.
There you go.
Some games this year. I think they're going to end up with four wins is my guesstimate. They've got one, so they got three
That's
more to come.
That's mighty right of you.
It's not going to be two against BC.
We'll see.
Yeah, I know.
Michael Townsend? Mike might be steering. No, wait, he doesn't do that anymore. He's a homebody.
I'm here.
There he is.
My bad. I had the mute button pressed because I was up here doing something. I didn't want to make too much noise on the phone. But this is going to be an interesting game. And what I mean by interesting game here, I'm not looking for Ottawa to win. And Rob J., I'm not picking on your team, but they're horrible and they suck right about now. And it's not nobody's fault. But
tell us what you really think.
Tell us what you really think, Mike. Yeah, Burris is going to play to Burris' potential. You know, he's going to always ball out. But until they get somebody to go out there and catch the ball, just get some receivers, they're going to be the same old way. So, you know, with Andrew Harris coming back and Lule starting, man, this is going to be a butt-whipping that Ottawa has never felt in their lifetime.
So they won't be playing this game. They won't be playing this game, or at least it won't feel like they're playing this game at home. They'll be feeling like they're playing it in the woodshed.
Yeah, this game is going to be over in the second quarter by halftime, man.
And I feel sorry for Ottawa, but, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you're here to play football, and this is just what it's going to be. You know, hey.
Well, in my opinion, I think BC, and what's been proven throughout the season, the team with the bye coming in has had a huge advantage over the team that played the week before.
That's not true. After you said that last week, I went back and looked at it, and it's a 50-50 split.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's a 50-50 split on the team coming off the bye to win.
Okay, so then Ottawa does have a chance to win then. I'm going to change what I said. I'm picking Ottawa three.
Oh!
Ballsy.
Really?
Right.
Wow.
Come on, guys. I'm crazy.
No, not crazy.
Yeah, and
you're
I like Rob
Toronto, that's why.
I like Rob
for Toronto. Of course
you're
crazy.
You're a Toronto fan. Of course you're crazy.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, that's not nice.
You shouldn't pick on a minority.
Frank, you
was brave picking that one. That was real brave, bro.
By three. I'm picking Ottawa by three.
Watch, guys. We could all be eating crow next week if he gets this one right.
we'll never hear the end of it.
I already have my crow on the barbecue.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, you're
yeah,
right.
They have. And a lot
man,
of them happen here
the
in
CFL,
Toronto.
Man. Yeah, this is the
all right,
CFL.
Let's move on to the next game. Once again, the rematch between Calgary and Edmonton. I'll start this one by suggesting that if Edmonton doesn't win this game, their season is a failure. That's the kind of pressure I'm saying that's on Edmonton right now. They will want to win this game as bad as Toronto or as bad as Hamilton wants to beat to Toronto. And this game is going to be all about Edmonton pushing for the victory. And it's going to be a question of whether Calgary can pick them apart, you know, because they'll be so aggressive defensively and offensively. But I think Edmonton's going to win this game, and they're going to win it by a touchdown. And I'm just saying it because if I can pick Ottawa, there's no problem picking Edmonton. How about you there, Doug?
Let me ask you a quick question first. Where's the game being played?
Edmonton.
In Edmonton.
In Edmonton, okay. Huh. Well, that still doesn't change my answer. I'm going to have to go with Calgary on this one.
Why is that?
Okay, and I'll tell you why, because I was really impressed with the way John Cornish was running last week. And if he plays even half the way he was playing in last week's game, Edmonton's in trouble. I think maybe the pressure might get to him. You know, because they may, instead of playing to win, they may play not to lose, you know. And if mm-hmm. they're concentrating, so, you know, Levi Mitchell's having a good year, and Cornish looks like, you know, like Cornish would, you know, like he's had the extra rest because he was hurt, so he hasn't played that much this year. So he looked really good last weekend. So I'm going to have to go with Calgary. I think it's going to be close. They may win by four. I don't think it's going to be a slaughter by one team over the other. And again, I've said this before, it may come down to, and this is a theme we've heard said about a lot of games this year, it may come down to who makes the last mistake or who has the ball last, but I'm going to have to go with Calgary with a slight edge in this one.
Good for you, because the next guy up, well, I don't even think we need to talk to Storm. We know what he's going to say.
Oh, give him his kick at the cat.
Okay, take your kick, buddy.
Well, and no, he had hit the nail right on the head with Cornish and Bo Levi Mitchell, and you know, you got your Mo Price, and you got the best defense, Christopher, in the league, and the best offense, Christopher, in the league. And Calgary's going to go into Edmonton like they did before, and they're going to beat them by 14, 31-17.
Wow.
And Cornish is going to go over 100 yards again. Well, Levi Mitchell will probably get up towards 300 passing. Calgary's too strong for Edmonton. Plain
Kelly?
Simple. There we go.
I'm also going to go with the big score in this one. I think it's going to be
one of the best games of the year for Edmonton. I think Riley's hungry. I saw him pretty much foaming at the mouth on the sideline last week. Edmonton's always got an advantage at home, and that's maybe where Doug might want to reconsider is just that Edmonton is a tough place to win, especially for Calgary. If you look at the history of this game, Edmonton's on top about 80% to 20%. That's the kind of ratio it is. So, yeah, it's going to be tight, but I think a high score. I'm thinking 44-40, Edmonton.
Oh,
Calgary's
won the last 10 games. Calgary's won the last 10 games against Edmonton. They're not scared to play in their backyard.
Yeah, it has been all Calgary recently, which is even more reason to think that the Eskimos need this one.
Well, what kind of Ottawa pick of the week, Ben?
Oh, all right. You mean like my pick? Are you making fun of me, Doug?
Oh, no, sir. I was just showing a comparison.
Because I wanted to remind you that I have my finger on the rotary dial, right?
So sorry, your cheapness.
Okay. Christopher?
You know, I'm going to acknowledge a lot of different things that Calgary has here, Storm. Edmonton has one of the best run defenses in the league. So, you know, Cornish is coming off of a six-game injury. I don't think he's got his head in the game just yet, although he did play a wonderful game last time. I think Edmonton's going to shut him down. And
there is something to be said also, Christopher. You're right, because, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're right also because there's that, you know, that second game, the first game you do it on adrenaline, and then the fact that you were hurt might kick in. And I'm inclined to agree with you that it'll be tough for Cornish. This game will be tough for Cornish.
It's going to be a tough game. I'm agreeing with Kelly right across the board on just about everything that he said here. Edmonton is going to come in. They have something to prove. They are a team on fire. They have been suppressed for the last 5-6 years, and they need this win. They absolutely need this win. And they could have done it in Calgary last week, and it was close, and Calgary did not own them. It was not dominant by any means. And I think Edmonton is going to come around in their own house. Commonwealth Stadium is going to be a nightmare for the Stamps to play in. It's going to be loud.
Well, I'm watching it live there, so I'll be cheering my voice.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget to post it.
You're going to be a minority, but definitely show pictures.
It don't matter. I haven't got beat up yet.
No, I don't expect you will.
Edmonton fans are pretty good.
This is an Edmonton victory.
How about you, Michael?
I'm going to agree with what Chris said, man. You know, Edmonton does have the best run defense. And if I'm not mistaken, Cornish had, 169 in yards this past week? Man, if he gets over 75 yards against that defense, man, I'd be surprised. I'm looking at Edmonton to come back and make a strong statement and take this W.
And I don't think it's a question of how many yards Cornish gets. I think it's more going to be a question of what kind of yards he gets in what situation.
He's going to have to pound the ball hard. He's going to get
very hard.
Yards.
Very
you know
hard.
I mean? Yep.
And when the closer he gets to the red zone, the more intense the Edmonton defense is going to be. Not because Edmonton's better than Calgary, but because of what you guys have said. And Edmonton's going to be very hungry. They're going to be ready for this game. It's going to be their home crowd behind them. And they are tough at home. Our Argos mm-hmm. found out how tough they are at home. So, you know, and I'm not comparing our team to Calgary, not this year anyway. But still,
you know what? This right here is going to be one of the top featured games for the
week.
This
is the game of the week. This is the game of the week.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I can't wait. I can't wait. Hopefully, I'll be home in time from work so I can catch it.
Oh, you'll be home in time from work. You don't have far to go anymore. You don't have far to go.
No, but I work from 12 afternoon to 12 to 2 at night, so, you know.
Oh, Well, there you go. There's always a little. Yeah. There's always a little cheese with your wine, huh?
Oh, that's mean.
Oh yeah.
There's always a little
cheese you know what
wine.
The thing about it is, I'm glad we got iPads in our trucks, so I can always download the ESPN.
There you go. There you go. Just pull over and watch the game.
There you go.
Could be worse.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So Stamps, Edmonton Eskimos, everybody's had their say on that. And I'm going to check from now on because, a special consideration ends up making me miss people sometimes. Okay, here's the game on Sunday. We have Hamilton going into Montreal. Hamilton's going to get an excellent opportunity to show they're for real. The game they won against the Argos, to me, was a snooze fest. I was very unimpressed with both teams, not just Hamilton. I was unimpressed with Toronto and Hamilton. Their offenses looked pathetic, to say the least. Ricky Ray did break a record, but that's pretty much all that happened in a positive sense for the Argos. For Hamilton, I said it before, and I'll say it again. I said it after the game, right after the game, and I'll say it forever. That was a game that was not played to win. It was a game played not to lose. And Hamilton just didn't lose that game. They're going to get a chance to show that they're better than that. And Montreal's going to get a chance to show that they're – like, this to me is the sleeper game, Hamilton-Montreal. Yes, I agree 100%. Calgary-Edmonton, fantastic matchup, incredible matchup of two very good teams who have played very well this year. But the Hamilton-Montreal game is going to be – a game for the crossroads. Both these teams have made, in my opinion, the kind of noise that the Eastern Division needs, and that is competitiveness. And I believe Montreal's defense will handle Caleros. And I think their offense has woken up enough, but I don't think they'll have enough to beat Hamilton. I think Hamilton will not – this will not be a walk. If Hamilton wins, it'll be at the very end. And it'll be close, and it'll be the best game of the weekend if it weren't for the fact that Calgary were playing Edmonton and Saskatchewan were playing Winnipeg. So it'll be a great game. It'll be the best Eastern Division game of the week. Let's go start the bottom with Mike this time. Mike, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to stick with Old Faithful like I always do every week. I'm going with Montreal. I think the offense is starting to click a little bit. As far as Hamilton goes, Calero's still got a long way to go, man, before he can start getting a rhythm with the receivers, the offense, the running game. I like the new running back that they had out, but I think Montreal defense is going to stop that running game. And this week, Chad might get a ball thrown to him for the first time in 2 weeks. So, hey, we'll see what happens. 27
and not Montreal. Running a crossing pattern.
Yeah, not running a crossing pattern. I mean, because if I watched the last game, man, he was open like six times, man. He did not get the ball thrown to him not one time the whole game. I think he just out there to spread the defense around, you know. But, hey, if it works for him to get a win, so be it.
How about you, Christopher?
This one's a tough one. Montreal seems to be improving exponentially, and so is Hamilton. I don't know whether or not Zach Collaros has got enough experience with his team right now to actually come out and do something with it, but I don't think Montreal's got enough pulled together to pull a win out of a paper bag right now. So I'm going to have to go with Hamilton, but it's going to be a tight game. It's not going to be an awesome game. It's not going to be the game of the season. It's not going to even be the game of the week.
I think it's important to both of them, though. I think it's a crossroad game for both those teams.
Every game is important to every team. Is this going to be an exciting light me up, oh, my God, I'm glad I'm a CFL fan? No, it's not. This is going to be one of those who makes the least mistakes is going to win.
Yeah, but that's because of the quality of the teams more than anything.
Well, of course, but yeah, I mean, this is not going to be the game of the week as you called it. So,
oh, I meant in the East.
Facetiously,
and it also has to be
I
the only game in the East. Yeah. It also happens to be the only game in the East.
So, yeah, no, it's not going to be an exciting game by any stretch of the means, but it's going to be CFL football, and that's better than any football.
I've heard that
right, Douglas?
Before.
Douglas said that today.
Yeah, I thought so. How about you, Kel?
I'm thinking Hamilton. Basically, same as everybody's been saying, the strength of Montreal's offense might not be enough to score, you know, 13 points this week. So, I've got to go Ticats. I really like the way Simone Lawrence plays in that middle for Hamilton. I don't know. You know, I've bragged about Montreal's defense in the past, and I still have a ton of respect for that defense. But I got to think the Hamilton's defense has really been on the rise for the last couple weeks here. And, I think you're going to see Hamilton's defense pulling out this win for them. Maybe, 24-10 victory, 14 points Hamilton.
Okay. How about you there, Storm?
This is one of my second closest games of the week, next to the Saskatchewan one that's coming up next. But, I'm picking Montreal. Claros, I've never cared for the guy since day one. Montreal, well, they've got their problems too. But I pick Montreal 24-20 over Hamilton.
We're on the same page, Storm.
Yeah, well, that's a first.
Except I picked Hamilton. How about you, Doug?
I've been one of those guys that's been dogging Montreal all season, you know, but I've seen some big improvement out of them the last couple of weeks, and I think this is the week it comes all together for them. I think they'll catch Hamilton at the right time. You know, they're still trying to learn with their new quarterback, you know, in place. And I see Montreal winning big. I think it'll be 27-10
wow.
Montreal.
Wow. That and I
there
was
you go, Smitty,
picking
that's
Ottawa.
What I'm talking about.
Wow.
What did he say?
He's very happy with what you said. That's what he's talking about.
Well, I choose to please.
Well,
I don't know. I just think, you know, Montreal played real good a couple weeks ago, even though they lost. And then last weekend, they eked out a win. But their spirit seems to be a little bit more uplifted. They're starting to gel. The offensive line is doing a better job of protecting their quarterback. And I think if he has time back there, I think like I said, I think they're catching Hamilton at just the right time. You know, Hamilton, they had a guy that started this year, quarterback. He wasn't ineffective. They brought in Dan Lefevre. He was really lighting them up, and then he went down to injury. Now they got Claros in there, who hasn't really had a whole lot of time yet, I don't think, to completely gel with his offensive unit. So I think this is the perfect time for Montreal to show that they're trying to, you know, play better as a team, and I think they'll win big. That's just what my gut is telling me.
Yeah, see, you're talking about that crossroads. It's an important, unfortunately, they're not at 7-7 and trying to go, they're trying to find playing good football. And this is going to be an important game for confidence building, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's
absolutely
important. It's important these two teams play well in this game because it means so much in the standings. The wins are so few in the East that when they do play the East, they need to win. And that's why I'm so disappointed in my team, the Argos, because they had an excellent opportunity to put a win in the win column, and they failed. And it's going to kill them. It's going to hurt them, you know, when it's all added up.
That game, that Toronto game was a snore. I mean, I wanted to take a nap so bad during that game, but I wanted to see at least Ricky Ray break his record, which I understand he did, so congratulations to him. But other than that, that was a snooze fest.
Well, I was having a hard time getting excited for the game. The offenses were, oh, my goodness, they were like a sleeping pill. It was terrible.
Hey,
but back to this
game. Let me ask a question real quick. Can someone explain this import rule to me? Because I'm a little unfamiliar with it.
The import rule?
Yeah,
they
can only have so many players from outside of Canada on each team. Is that the rule?
It's complicated. It's complicated. And when I say complicated, if you guys, Kelly, if you want to jump in, for me, it's, It's about your starting 14. Sorry, starting 12. You know, it's about your starting 12. The ratio. It's what is it? 6-6. And you know, it's just
exactly. It's exactly.
Right?
It's 12-12.
Yeah, defense and offense. When you consider defense and offense, that's right.
Right, and then it has to be half Canadians on special teams. So that's pretty much every Canadian that has to play special teams, essentially. Yeah, so I don't know.
And if you pull one out, you got to put an American in.
Right, and it's one of these rules that's existed for an eternity, and it abides with Canadian labor laws and everything, and you know, it's not going anywhere for a long time, and in fact, they've changed the rules to the rosters, as you might know, from 44 players on the game day roster to 46 players. And they've added an additional two spots when you consider the regular roster without the scratches.
Practice
rust. So, right. And so, you know, there's that to consider. I believe that means one more Canadian, one more American. What else? Yeah, that's really all I can say about the import rule. It's... like Frank said, the important part is that you have to play a certain amount of Canadians, and usually those Canadians, as you can probably have derived for yourself, that they typically play the non-skill positions. There are exceptions, of course, and very stark.
And those exceptions are important. We heard today on
sure,
the show... We heard on the show today how important in BC the fact that Andrew Harris is getting back into the lineup and Tim Brown is in the lineup. He's an international. There's a new terminology now as well. There's national and international. Now, national doesn't necessarily mean that they're Canadian, but there's a definition of what is a national player and a definition for what is an international player. And it's no longer Canadian-American. It's national-international. National being the Canadians are in that list, and the international, the Americans are in that list. Then you'll get silly things like somebody from Jamaica is a Canadian if they went to high school here or college here. It gets really muddy, okay? But the important thing to note is that having a Canadian that can play a skilled position really opens up some opportunities for your team. It gives a guy like Tim Brown a great opportunity. John Cornish, a running back who's Canadian, gives you a good opportunity to get maybe an offensive lineman to throw it. Well, nah, that's a bad call. But you know, you don't have to play a Canadian, let's say, a Canadian linebacker because you have – it's up to the coach to decide. So it's who you have. We all know that compare Americans or internationals – to nationals who are Canadian, we know that American football players are well-trained and in a plethora. There's so many of them to pick from at such a high rate of quality that a good Canadian becomes that more important, that much has that much more importance. If you can start a Canadian and he doesn't drag you down, typically offensive linemen have been historically Canadians. They are... I don't want to use the term less skilled because I don't think that's fair, but they are positions that can be learned far quicker than and talent than running back or quarterback, if I can use the exaggerated comparison.
The one thing that I can add is you know, on defense you're looking at maybe one to two defensive linemen, same with the linebacking core, one to two, same with the defensive backs, one to two. And then on the offense, you're looking at two to three running backs on the roster would be Canadian, maybe even four in some odd cases. Yeah, and then quarterback, obviously none, since Russ Jackson, essentially.
Wide receivers.
Wide receivers typically two or three on the roster, anyways, and usually they rotate, or are a star. In the example of Chris Getzlaff, Shamad Chambers, so many over the years, Paul Mazzotti. Yeah,
but their rarity
great
helps
Canadian.
In the ratio, means that you can put an American in another position.
Right. And then for slot backs, another thing, you know, like it's kind of a different position than wide receiver, I would say. Those are typically Canadians as well.
And more and more.
That's basically
more and more.
The breakdown position by position. Well, and kicker, too. One of either your kicker or punter would be Canadian as well.
But then they made that rule, you know, that they changed that rule where the kicker is not determined the same way other players are. To try and
exempt from the
Right, because people used to play games with a Canadian kicker, right? Bring a Canadian kicker in and then have an American running back.
Right. Yeah, he's exempt from that. That is the one thing.
That was changed last year, I think. But, yeah, it's all about integrating Canadian players with American players. And this is why the draft, the Canadian draft, is so important. Today, the Argos traded a defensive lineman that's Canadian is he Canadian? I'm thinking that he is, a defensive tackle, and they traded for an American. That's a sign of desperation. You just don't trade Canadians for Americans, because those Americans can be replaced far easier than a player that's Canadian that can play in the CFL, whether it is only a couple of downs, whether it's only a quarter, is far more important than an American that can play a full game. I'm saying on average, and just for the sake of this conversation, it's imperative that you have Canadians, great Canadian players are what makes a team a Grey Cup champ. If you look at how the Argos won, as an Argo fan, I'm more than aware that we lost some Canadian talent after we won the Grey Cup, and guess what? The team has steadily declined. And you know, don't underestimate the importance of good Canadian players.
Okay.
Any other questions? Any follow-up
questions?
No, that
was it.
Okay. Yeah, we discriminate against Americans as much as we can here.
Yeah.
I see.
Not only in the league, but definitely on this radio program.
Definitely. But let me put this in perspective for you, Douglas. Can I put it in perspective for you?
It's your show, sir.
Okay, I'm going to put it in perspective for you. In the soccer league, the MLS, Major League Soccer, they're only allowed two or three imports.
I was not aware of that.
Well, there you go. If you look at soccer in England and in Europe and Italy and Germany, wherever, two or three players. That's all they allow on their team.
So you're saying if Manchester United wanted to have four or five American players on the team, they wouldn't be allowed to. They'd only be allowed to have two or three.
Right, right.
They would be laughed at if they wanted American players on their team.
No, but that's not
the
point.
Well, I'd probably be one of the ones laughing at them. I mean, but...
but the point... The point, Douglas, is that in other sports, while we may look bad going at 50%, in other leagues it's 80% home players, 85-90%. Okay?
Right.
So just to put it in perspective, the Canadian Football League is very generous and very kind to American football players when one puts it in perspective of other leagues and other sports.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I wasn't trying to imply they weren't. I just heard the term import being thrown around, and I wasn't quite sure what it meant. And now you guys have explained it to me, so now I understand it better. You know, and I guess I understand why they want to do it, because, you know, it would be easy to, like you said, it's
the American players get better training and maybe better facilities. I don't know. I've never been able to tour
a
CFL
right.
facility.
No, that's
but,
that's a given.
And that would be unfair. You're right. It would be unfair to the Canadian fans if it's their league that you don't have teams that are. It's not like the NHL, the NBA, or even Major League Baseball where you've got teams in both countries. So that's a little bit different. But you're right. The CFL is its own entity. It's a Canadian thing. And so it makes sense that they'd want to have it to be, you know, mostly or at least an even amount of Canadian players because that would probably, you know, rub the Canadian native person the wrong way. And I understand that. I would feel the same way. So, I mean, now that it's been explained to me, I get it. Makes perfect sense.
Here's additionally what I want to add to what we just said right now. If it was opened up to the best players in football, the Canadian Football League, it would drop in interest very quickly because it would just become another league in North America, mostly in America, that failed.
Right.
You know, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
What makes our league different is the fact that we have Canadian players involved and is the fact
right.
that there's a vested interest in watching the game because we do have local players. I know there's a lot of people who don't like it, but the fact remains there have been a lot of leagues with better players who have not done better than the CFL over
nope.
the years.
That's true. We've had plenty
yeah.
of football leagues down here that have tried and failed. You know, you
yeah.
had the World League, you had the U.S. Football League, the XFL. They've all maybe, what, 2-3 years tops or even less,
yep.
and they flopped. So
because
yeah,
it's
yeah.
too easy to compare them to the NFL. And as soon as you compare them to the NFL, people lose interest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas it's a Canadian
yeah,
league.
The NFL men in black step in and lose the interest for people. But anyway, one thing I wanted to mention.
The
one
men
thing
in
I wanted
black.
To mention, and it's sort of you know related is, Doug, have you ever heard of the? I believe it's called the Can-Am Series or the Can-Am Bowl.
Yep. Yep.
It's an annual competition of high school level kids, and it takes place in Texas. This one that I'm speaking of, I believe Tyler, Texas. And
yep, Tyler.
Yeah, the Canadians regularly come out on top in most categories. There's games in different categories for different sizes of schools and different. You know what I mean, how they kind of break it down for
different
levels.
It's
yeah,
like
sizes.
Little League Baseball.
This is
like the Little League
football
Baseball
competition?
Champion. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
And,
okay.
I guess I've never heard of it. Oh,
yeah,
they
play American rules. It's all available on YouTube, actually. So
I'll have to
maybe
look at that.
I know your name on Facebook there, so I'll look you up and send you a link because
yeah,
it's real interesting to watch the Canadian kids play these American kids, and you know, basically just go toe to toe with them, and it's always a thrill for me to watch as a Canadian.
Well, I think that's the draw with international competition. You know, I mean, the Olympics are always really popular. And look at this past year's World Cup. I mean, I think more people watched the World Cup this year worldwide than ever before. So I like the international competition. I find it interesting. I like to, you know, it's like interleague baseball. You know, when interleague baseball first came around, it was nice to see, it was different to see, say, Montreal, not Montreal. Trying to
the
think,
Mets
say
play
the Dodgers.
Yankees. The Mets
yeah,
play the Yankees.
You know, or say the Dodgers come into New York and play the Yankees. Up until
there
the interleague play, you don't think you. The only time you saw that was the World Series. You know, it's
World
not as maybe. It's, yeah, it's maybe not as interesting now because they do it this year. I think this is the first year they're doing it all season. It's not just a couple times during the year. So, but I think that's the draw for international play. And I will definitely look up the this Can-Am thing you're talking about because that sounds fascinating.
I just posted a link for you, Douglas, on your wall.
Okay. All right. Well, I won't see it till tomorrow, but that'll give me something to look forward to at work when I get caught up. Oh.
There you go. Well, okay. Let's take another short break. And the last time we took a break, I said we'd be taking a break, so we'll come back and talk about Winnipeg and Saskatchewan. It didn't happen. Let's see if it happens this time.
The lines of scrimmage in the Canadian game are a yard apart rather than on the tips of the ball. How do you think that would affect play?
Hey, you know, the difference is, hey, NFL, we're like this, right?
Right.
Right here, you're going inside, well, you're going to get it.
Right.
You're going
right.
outside, I'm going with you, right?
Right.
Okay. But in ball, now I got to square up. I got to square up and look at you, right? And when you start to make a move, then I'm going to turn my hips, all right? You going to go? I'm going to go. Go, 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 go. There you go. Get out of there. Get out of there. You got it. That's football Canadian style.
How you doing today, sir? Right on. You you think the NFL going to three downs is a good idea? You like a 20-second play clock? No fair catch rule up there. A lot more scoring. CFL. Thanks a lot. Not getting much out of this guy. CFL. That's where the action is.
It's all about being Canadian, you know? I met Clemens one night, pinball, and there was about 10 of us, and he remembered everybody's name when he left. He said, Chris, see you later. Mark, see you later. Tim, see you later. And he remembered everybody's name. I was so taken back by that. I was like, you know, here's a person that doesn't have to know who you are, but chooses to because he knows, you know, you're important. It's about being a person. It's what you can do with it, not what you can get out of it. And I think that's good. That's what I like about the CFL.
Yep, I like that about the CFL, too, that, you know, none of their star players are above talking to the fans. The fans are very, you know, they love their team. Now, we only got 21 minutes left, and this has to be the biggest game of the week. As far as intensity in the crowd, which Winnipeg's stadium will be just, oh, are you kidding me? It's going to be electric in Winnipeg. And we'll see if Saskatchewan pulls their national anthem routine again. We'll see.
They've been fined, and they have been told they do it again. They're in trouble.
Oh yeah.
So
okay.
Yeah, yeah. They got us talking to.
They got a tongue lashing, did they?
They did.
Okay. But as far as the game's concerned, Winnipeg's got to win eventually. I mean, they were able to do it last year, and they beat the Grey Cup champs. But they've really have not had an answer for Saskatchewan. The Rough Riders, I think this will make it 3-0 if they win this time. I think Winnipeg's already lost the rubber match, right?
Yeah, that's the thing is we've got the mental edge in having two in the pocket.
So this could be the game that Winnipeg wins. I'll wait to the end, and I guess we'll start with Doug this time. Douglas?
All right. Well, you know, since I took up all the time with that question there, I'll just make it short. I think this is Winnipeg's turn to win. You know, third time is the charm. And, you know, the home fans will help them. I think that'll give them the edge they need, the push they need to finally get off the schneid against the Rough Riders. So I think Edmonton will win 30-27. I'm not Edmonton. I'm sorry. Winnipeg, 30-27.
Right. You hung up on Edmonton, buddy.
No. I'm sorry. I just lost my head for a second.
No worries. I lose mine for a minute.
Hope you find it.
There you go. How about you, Storm?
Oh, there it is.
Stormy.
Who?
Storm, where are you?
Okay, well, people were cutting in. I didn't hear my name, so. This is going to be my closest game of the week. They did both good. That was an enjoyable game last weekend, besides my Calgary win, but other than that. I have to go with the Gophers again. 31-30.
Oh, Stormy.
I know, but you know what? Winnipeg's on the downhill, and I picked him for last place, so there you go.
Ouch.
Ooh, that's mean.
Well, that's got to hurt. Thank goodness Tammy isn't here.
Maybe that's why I said it.
You brave man when she's not around. Kelly, can I assume that you're picking Saskatchewan?
Sorry, Frank. Go to somebody else for a second. I'll be right back.
Okay, all right. How about you, Christopher?
I knew Saskatchewan was going to win the Labor Day game, and I picked Winnipeg, and I don't know why I did that. It was a mental error. It's not going to be a mental error this week. This is going to be Winnipeg's game. They're going to take the Banjo Bowl. I want them both to lose. I want them both to lose, and it's really impossible to do that. So if one wins one week, then the one has to win the next week, and then that was a tie for both weeks. So
there you go.
To me, these two teams are going to end up in the basement in the West, and they're both on the decline. The Riders have not hit their midseason slide yet, and they're about to hit it hard right now. Winnipeg is going to hurt them.
Well, Mike, do you have anything else that's hurtful that you could say about Saskatchewan? Mike's
gone. Kelly's gone. Storm's gone. My God, they're falling away.
I'm sorry, I'm
back.
Here.
Yeah.
Okay, go, Mike. You go first, Mike.
Oh, Mike's back, too.
Okay, I'm going to make this real quick. I don't have nothing really bad to say about Saskatchewan, man. They've been rolling on all cylinders. So I'm looking at them to go ahead and take another win this weekend.
Why?
Man, because I don't know what's going on with Winnipeg, man. I mean, they come to play, but it's always a player too short, man, that's keeping them out the end zone to get over that hump. And I don't think they're going to get over that hump this weekend. I'm picking to be a close game again, 36-30.
How about you there, Mr. Ryder man?
Yeah, well, I'm going to pick off of what Mike said. He's right. Winnipeg the story hasn't changed for Winnipeg. They're still strong on quality of opposition. And I guess the same could be said for Saskatchewan. It's just that Saskatchewan has showed signs of dominance. Now, it is a road game, and with that being said, it's going to be a tough test for the Riders, but, you know, I mean, the odds of winning twice in a building in the same year, you know, that's pretty low odds, but I just have to think that they're rolling and that they have the mental edge over Winnipeg, and they've already won the season series, so there's no
Whoop! We just lost Kelly while he was talking.
Boom.
Oh man! Well, Frank, you fill
okay,
in the blanks.
Okay, I'll try and bring him back in. That was funny, and you know he doesn't even show up that he left. Wow, that's what he did. Just boom, just gone. Okay, let me open the floor up to the last for the last 15 minutes. A quick subject matter that we might not have touched that you guys want to talk about, Doug. You have anything in mind?
Well, I've noticed here lately the last few games, the last few weeks, you know, and I guess maybe this is something I've thrown out the group, but it seems to me like there's a lot more field goals being scored than touchdowns. Is it just me that's noticing that?
Well, I'm a Toronto fan, so I know 100% that the whole game, the whole offense was kicking last week. That's all it
okay,
was.
So I'm
not, no, you're not imagining it.
So I'm not the only one that's seeing that.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Okay.
Now,
no,
you look
sir.
At Calgary, there hasn't been an offensive touchdown scored against them in two games, so any points that anybody's getting is coming off of a foot. You know, the BC game, BC Riders game, there was only one touchdown scored offensively in the whole game.
Huh.
So no, you're not seeing that. You're not
all
imagining
right.
that. It's a reality
cause
this year.
I know,
the offense is just not happening.
I know a few years back, I don't know if it's been – within the last couple of years, but there was a season here not in the NFL not too many seasons ago where they were talking about a stat where the amount of field goals compared to touchdowns was like 3-1. It seemed like people were just kicking and kicking and kicking, and they couldn't get touchdowns in. And I don't think the ratio is that bad in the CFL at this time, but this was something I've picked up on in watching the games that I did manage to catch this past weekend. And also, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that ESPN here in the States is actually, the regular ESPN is actually showing a couple of the games this weekend here on our network down here. So I'm excited about that.
Good. Yeah, just going back to that BC Rider game, the only offensive touchdown was scored by a catch by an offensive lineman.
Oh, really?
It had to have been.
Yeah, one of our best receivers
about this game, didn't it?
Dan Clark.
It would have had to have been tipped, no?
Yeah. So, I mean, that was the only offensive touchdown scored. I mean, Tim Brown got one off of special teams, and the rest was off the foot of the kickers.
Huh. Okay.
So, yeah,
that's right.
The field goals have been in plenty this year, and the touchdowns have been a few.
Okay. Just want to make sure I wasn't seeing things.
One thing I wanted to touch, I don't know, I missed a couple of days with you guys. Did you all know that Chris Wilson, Williams got cut by the Bears? This is that Hamilton Tomcat standout guy. You went over that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, and Michael Sams was signed by the Dallas Cowboys.
There you go.
So he's not coming to the CFL anytime soon.
No, I didn't think so.
Well,
don't
be surprised. He only got signed to the practice squad. So
yeah,
he can sign teams. Any players that's on the practice squad can go anywhere of their choosing if they want to play.
There you
go. But he recorded 3 sacks and a dozen tackles in the preseason with who was it that he was with? The Chiefs?
The Rams, I think.
Rams. The Rams. St. Louis.
And I mean, you know, for a rookie defensiveman to come in, defensive lineman, and light it up like that, how does he get cut? You know?
Locker room.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you how he got cut, actually. I heard it today, and they were looking at him in a special teams capacity. And you know, they're pretty set at defensive end right now as far as personnel goes. So they weren't looking at him to have an impact as a defensive end this year. They wanted somebody who they could count on, and they had a body that they wanted more than Michael Sam, and they didn't give him any preferential treatment, which is exactly how I wanted them to handle the situation. So I give the Rams a love.
Yeah, and
but
plus
he was kind of
slow. He wasn't one of the fast defensive end. He was kind of slow, and you know, St. Louis, man, if you think of who their coach is, Jeff Fisher, he likes them fast, big defensive ends, man. And Michael Sam was good, but he wasn't great.
Okay.
I mean, their backups was even better than him, so it made him expendable.
Okay, then on that point there, Mike, if what you're saying is true, why the hell did they draft him? They knew what his speed was like. They knew what everything about him. And if that's not the criteria of what fits their defense, why the hell did they draft him?
Well,
I heard it was
a
locker room problem.
To draft Michael Sam.
No, you're going to draft for your needs. But then at the same time, as you're going through the draft, you're also signing free agent players to come in after the draft. And signing your own players. So, you know, they probably picked up someone at that position that was well-skilled from another team. And being a rookie, come in like a fourth rounder or something like that, the most you're going to do, man, is be the third stringer or a practice squad roster. And St. Louis is already pretty set at that skill position last year. And they signed a couple more guys that came from other teams, so that made him expendable. Now, if they needed him at that position, they didn't have nobody else. Believe me, he'd still be on St. Louis squad now. Just being on the practice squad and signing players made him expendable. That's all.
And a fourth round pick is disposable.
Yeah, fourth round pick is disposable. Now, if you want to talk about later round picks, sixth and seventh rounds, you get the only ones that usually make the squad, man, sixth and seventh round picks, is the cornerbacks, the defensive backs, the free safeties. Because they come a dime a dozen. You can find a starter at the nickelback in the 6th, 7th round or undrafted free agent to start at a corner spot. But linebacker, man, they're not a dime a dozen. You're looking for some quality skilled players at them positions.
Right. Tom Brady was selected 166th overall.
What was that, Chris?
Yeah.
Tom Brady was selected 166th place overall.
Okay, but that's rare that somebody that gets drafted that late and has that kind of stardom. That's rarity. I mean, yes, Tom Brady is an example, but you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody else who got drafted in that late a rounder and that late of a spot and has gone on to have the success that Tom Brady has.
Yeah, well, we can find a lot of players that were picked late and that make it big. You know, that's just what makes the draft interesting, right? In retrospect.
Well, we can find a lot in the top five that have never played.
Absolutely.
And that's the same thing in reverse.
Yeah,
you know,
right. And
there,
thing,
there
the
are
thing
no...
with Tom, the thing with Tom Brady, was you got to think of what school he came from, man. He came from the Bo Schembechler, Lloyd Carr of Michigan football, you know what I'm saying? And at that time, when he came out, you had quarterbacks, man, that was Heisman Trophy winners, players that didn't even play. And be honest with you, man, that haunts Detroit Lions fans to this day that we let Tom Brady go to New England and we drafted Charlie Batch out of Eastern Michigan instead of going after Tom Brady. There you go.
Charlie
there
Batch.
You go.
Who? Didn't he actually have a cup of coffee with the Steelers and then he pondered coming to the CFL, but I don't think anybody wanted him.
No, heck no.
Before it gets too late,
anyway,
guys, because we're running out of time, I just wanted to say hello on behalf of Bruce John Inch. There's a giant lightning storm happening there, and he doesn't want to go outside with the antenna on his phone. He's not very tall, but he's still worried that lightning might hit him, so he's not calling the show. He's listening, and he wanted us to know his picks. His picks are BC, Edmonton, Hamilton, and Saskatchewan. And he's saying also Sam signed with the Cowboys and is on the practice roster. Thanks, bro.
Right on. And what I wanted to say is my prediction for the score in Saskatchewan-Winnipeg game, I'm going to go 41-27 Saskatchewan. And I'm going to be there with Don, and we're going to have a great time.
Oh, wow. Big points. Wow.
Yeah, I think it's the return of the offense this week. If
Dan,
you
not
listen
Don.
To my scores.
I don't know.
Okay.
You mean Dan, don't you?
No, Don.
Don? Christopher?
What?
Oh, no, you're Don. Oh, you're Don.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Dan will be there, too.
Who's Dan?
There's going to be a lot of Georges and everybody else there, too. I'm here.
Christopher. Winnipeg fan.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
He'll be there.
Derek,
probably...
Christopher. You're talking about Derek.
Oh,
Derek,
Derek. You're right.
Yeah,
I got it wrong. Derek Christopher. Not
Derek
Dan.
Christopher.
Yeah, I know
Derek, what
the Winnipeg guys.
Polish guy's name is?
Jaworski.
Yep.
And somebody
Tammy.
Somebody should coach me on how to post videos to Facebook because I haven't been able to figure it out, but...
Are you
I got
serious?
A good one of last
Are
week's
you serious?
Well, I use a smartphone all the time,
serious?
And I don't think it's an option. Yeah,
I
well, like
do not
I say,
know
I use
a bloody thing
so.
About computers, and I can do it. Kelly.
Somebody better
Kelly,
coach me.
I'm a moron when it comes to that stuff. It's the same as a video or a picture. Are you talking about on the phone or on the computer?
Yeah, well, like I say, I generally
what
use
what phone is
phone
it, Kelly?
iPhone.
Oh, it's
actually really
well,
easy.
That's your problem.
No, it's really easy, Kelly. I'll talk to you after
okay.
the show.
Yeah, it is easy. Well, we're winding down to the last couple of minutes, and the CFL season has, hit the halfway mark, you know, the – We're about to – I think this is the part of the season where you have teams like mine are hoping things will change. Teams like Christopher's, you're hoping you can build on what you've done already. And teams like Montreal and Hamilton, you're hoping things are going to come finally start working out for you. So this is an important time of the season, and this is
well,
when –
Well, you got teams like the Riders in Calgary who are really hoping the wheels don't fall off the bus.
Well, the whole thing is what you do in the last half of the season has more impact than what you did in the first half. That's one thing I know about the CFL, and I hold that thought very dearly. And this year, I'm hoping it works out for us. But really, what you do at the beginning of the season, the important thing about the beginning of the season is that you get wins, so you get tiebreakers, which this year I think are going to be very important, as we said earlier. It's going to be a great last half of the season in the CFL. And I can't wait to hear who's going to replace Mr. Cohan.
Yeah, that guy named Michael Townsend.
There you go. Michael Townsend, there you go. Well, guys, one at a time.
I'd be betting more on Michael Copeland. Sorry.
That Storm's gone.
No.
Okay, I'll say goodbye for Storm. Calgary is the best. They will be the best, and they're always the best. It doesn't matter even if they're not the best. They're still the best. How about you, Kelly? Your
horse.
Final word? Your final word?
Just let Davey say goodnight.
Goodnight. Hey, goodnight, Davey.
Hurry up, Mike, because we only got 2 seconds left.
Yeah, Mike has left the building.
Christopher, hurry.
Good night.
Doug.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Okay. We're back again on Monday. See you then. This is Candid Frank Live. The CFL is the best football in the world, and the show where we talk CFL. Let's talk CFL football.
And you heard it first.